Now we turn from beavers to badgers. Although widely spread across our countryside, the badger is rarely encountered in the wild. These secretive mammals spend much of their lives in underground sets, coming out at night in search of food. Unlike their otter, stoat and pine marten cousins, they are highly sociable and live together in clans of up to 10 or more. They're incredibly clean and regularly change the bedding in their underground sleeping chambers, even bringing bedding to the surface to air. They do not soil the insides of their sets and use communal shallow pits placed away from their subterranean homes as toilets. Author and naturalist Declan Murphy has set up cameras to closely observe the private lives of these fascinating animals at a set in County Wicklow. Wildlife enthusiast Tara Adcock met with Declan to find out more.
Thanks a million, Derek. So I'm up here in the Wicklow Hills. We won't give away the exact location of the set, just in order to protect it. But what I can say is that we're in this beautiful deciduous woodland with the person we're come here to meet, Declan Murphy, actually sitting up in a tree. Declan, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Tara. Well, there's not much room up this tree for you to join me, so I'm going to come down and join you.
Don't think I've ever seen a naturalist up a tree before.
Well, being up a tree is a very common place to find a naturalist, because as a naturalist, I've spent my life watching a whole range of birds and animals. And depending on which animal you're watching, that means you have to go to different places. And the animal we're here to talk about today is the badger. And one of the things about badgers is if you want to see them, you've got to climb a tree, right, even though they live underground. And the reason for that is the badger, more than any other of our native animals, has a very, very good sense of smell.
Okay.
It doesn't have great eyesight like a fox. It has a great sense of smell. And if it gets a scent of man, it won't come out of its burrow. It'll go back down. So the reason we're up on the tree in this viewing platform that I've built is that we're actually over the set and we're looking down on it. So the scent from me carries over the set and doesn't disturb the badgers when they come out.
Isn't that very clever?
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
And if you'd like to come on over here, we can go and have a look at the set itself and we can talk to you through why it's a set and all the interesting features about it.
Sounds great. Let's do that.
So here we are actually at the set. And as you can see, the land around us looks like a bulldozer has gone over it rather than being a natural habitat. There's churned up soil, grass, the whole place looks like it's a mess, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. We're standing on top of this. It's a soil heap, isn't that what it's called, that we're standing on? It's where the badgers have been taking the dirt out of their sets.
That's right. If you look behind us, there's several holes, and these are some of the entrance holes. Now, the whole area is covered in about 10, 15, maybe more entrance holes, because all the set is interlinked.
Wow, that's huge.
And it's huge.
It is.
And they're bringing this soil out here and they're just dumping it. And this is one of the first features you'll notice about a burrow. If you find a rabbit burrow or a fox burrow and you're wondering, what is it? There's very little spoil heaps outside it, and that will tell you it's not a badger. Whereas this one, as you can see, the ground below us that falls away from the set is about 15, 20 feet away. So this spoil heap's about 15, 20 feet high. And this is just one spoil heap outside one set entrance. And there's another one down there, and another one over there behind you, and there's several more up here.
How old do you reckon this set actually is?
Well, the spoil heaps always give a good indication as to the age of the set. The size of this tells us that this is a very old set. And it's certainly been here, talking to some people, 40, 45 years, and it was as big as this back then. I think we're looking at 100 years plus for this set.
Really?
Yes.
No,
this is one of the biggest.
It
is. There's several generations have been here.
Good.
But what we don't know is there badgers sleeping beneath us?
Okay.
And that's where being a naturalist and having fieldcraft comes in, because you have to work out, is there badgers here? And let's have a look at this set and see, are there definitely badgers here? Because there's plenty of signs if you know what to look for. The first thing we're going to look at is the entrance itself. There's no cobwebs across it. There's no dirt on the tracks going in. That's because when they're coming out, they're trampling down the soil. There's no debris or anything there. So we can see all these clear trails all going through the woodland.
Okay.
Now, other ways we can find out whether or not the set is active is, first of all, looking for claw marks, scratch marks on the actual trees around us. They're a little bit further away, just down behind the bramble bushes over there. You'll often find bits of hair stuck on twigs and brambles around the place.
Okay.
That's often a giveaway.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, they have a very strong musky scent.
Right.
Right. A Exactly.
And they have a very strong gland that gives off this scent, especially the dominant boar.
Okay.
So if you go up to the actual net, up to the set entrance and stick your head down, you should be able to have a scent. And have a smell here, because this is one of the most active entrance holes. And if we get down and stick our head right down into the burrow, you'll get a big,
strong... Oh, you
strong
can definitely
yes.
smell that. Yeah, it's very
it just
strong.
Kind of comes up. And trying to get that scent of the badgers isn't the only reason that you stick your head down a burrow.
Why? What other reason would you have?
If I was here by myself and there was no sound of human voices talking, okay. the badgers wouldn't be disturbed by my presence just here. And if you stick your head right down, you can actually hear them snoring.
No way!
Yeah, it's quite an amazing sound. If you creep up, you can actually hear, if there's one or two down there, you'll hear rustling as they turn around.
Yeah,
it's like a dog sitting in his bed, and they're rustling and rolling around, and you will actually hear them snoring. I've heard it a good few times.
That's
and
it's amazing.
It is an amazing sound to hear it coming up from several metres underground. And if you look here in front of us, do you see all this hay that's come out, all this grass and hay all sitting here?
That's from the badgers?
That's from the badgers.
Oh, okay.
They bring their bedding out to air it, like you wash the sheets.
Really?
Yes,
no
and they
way.
Go off and they get more. Now, this time of year, they're getting ready for the winter. The bedding is used as insulation on the cold nights.
Wow.
So they're going out into the surrounding fields, getting grass, bracken, hay, and they bring it back. And the way they bring it back is they use their front paws and bring their snout down around it, rolled into a ball, and they shuffle backwards all the way from the fields right up here, up this slope where we're on, and backwards down the...
Have you actually gotten to see this happening?
Yes, we've seen them doing that.
That and must it's be just the cutest thing ever.
It is quite amazing. Yeah. And then they go down, and then they will bring the others back up, the old bedding. And,
okay.
and that's why outside the sets, you'll see all these piles of straw and that. And that's a clear indication that this set is in use. Badgers live in their underground all year round, through the winter
so
and the whole time.
They have to keep it clean to keep down the parasites and
yes.
stuff like that. Is that why they excavate more chambers as well as the kind of set gets older? Is that to prevent parasite buildup as well?
I think it's probably more due to the numbers that are
okay.
actually building up, because a set like this could have, for all we know, it's very hard to calculate, but there could be 20, 25 badgers under your feet. If you've met badgers, haven't you? You've seen badgers out and about.
Unfortunately, unlike yourself, I've never seen a badger like firsthand in the field. But what I have seen is when I was monitoring fallow deer with trail cameras, I did kind of by happy coincidence have the camera trap set up near a set, and I got to see the cubs playing together. It was just such a beautiful kind of opportunity to see an animal that you generally just don't get to see in the wild, and just acting, behaving naturally, and kind of they were nearly like children playing together. It was kind of a bridging between two species. I felt like I recognised myself in their play behaviour, and I recognise the human species in the play behaviour, which maybe sounds, it's anthropomorphising, but I think it's good to have that connection with nature as well. So Declan, this is obviously something that you observed in much more detail than I have. Can you tell us a bit about a badger year? What does it entail?
I'm delighted that you got so much enjoyment out of seeing those cubs, and I can tell if you were watching the cubs what month of the year you were obviously there, and it was obviously, I'd say, May or June, because that's when the cubs come out. And the whole year of the badger starts back in January.
Okay.
And that's when the badgers are least active, because it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then the badgers are born in February. Now, badgers have a very strange breeding strategy called delayed implantation.
Is this where the eggs, maybe they can mate in the summer or spring, but the eggs take a while to implant?
That's exactly it. And it confused an awful lot of naturalists in the early years, because they would watch badgers mating in February and in March and in April, May, June, and the young always arrived in January. So they couldn't work out how long it took. And what happens is, it's a strategy of the badger that it provides the optimum amount of time for mating to take place, because the mating can take place at any time through the year. The fertilised eggs then aren't implanted until December, and then they undergo very rapid growth, and in a very short space of time the young badgers are born in February, and that's the start of the whole year. And the badgers are born blind, they're born naked, and they're tiny, but they grow really fast. Yes, and they grow really fast, and by the time we get through into May, the cubs are coming out from underneath. Now, there can be anything between 1 and 4, but 2 is usually what we have here in Ireland.
Okay.
And they come out and they play all through the summer evenings. And because they're totally nocturnal, the badger year follows the time of sunset. They usually come out shortly after sunset. So in the winter months, if they're coming out, they're coming out at 5 in the evening. In June and July, they're coming out at 11 o'clock. So hey, you're really kind of, you're going out at all times of the day and night. And then they carry on with their behaviour through the whole year. There's the feeding changes, and then they start bringing the bad bedding in and out in the autumn. And then, you know, they get ready to spend the winter deep underground.
Okay, so do badgers hibernate then, or are they just a little bit less active during the winter months?
They're definitely less active, and I suppose we have to think about what we mean by hibernate. And if we think of an animal curled up unconscious for 3 months of the year, fast asleep, no, they don't hibernate.
Okay.
But they do, depending on the altitude of the set, they do go into a torpor for maybe a couple of days, maybe during extreme weather. And during the middle of the winter when it's snowy, they probably don't come out enough. They can't feed. They can't do anything like
okay.
that. So they would sit out the bad weather. But they are active all year round, just less so in December and January.
So Declan, you said that badgers are very sociable.
You very rarely come across just one badger naturally in its set. There's always groups, and we said the groups could be 20 or 30. It's all to do with their diet.
Okay.
Or certainly related to the diet. The primary part of their diet is earthworms.
Okay.
Which takes a lot of hunting.
I'd say.
And you don't get earthworms in every type of habitat. The number of earthworms per square metre in this woodland is far less than the field on the outside.
Okay.
So the territories are very big.
Yes.
And if there was just one badger trying to defend a territory big enough to find all the earthworms it needs all year, he would spend nearly all his time trying to walk around and defend the territory and wouldn't have the time to feed.
He'd be a very skinny badger,
he
essentially.
Would. But when there's so many badgers, they can all defend different parts of the territory and protect a much larger territory.
So
and
it's
that's
a strength in numbers type
of
scenario.
And that's like earthworms make up well over half their diet.
Right.
They eat quite a number of different things. They eat hedgehogs, they eat rabbits, and they do eat earthworms. And they're quite amazing. I've watched them eating earthworms on moonlit nights.
Okay.
And they swallow them whole.
Okay.
They basically eat them like they're having a bowl of spaghetti.
Really? Like and leading the tramp nearly without tramp.
Exactly. Yeah. They just go on and they go and they just hoover them up and swallow them straight down. And they get 200 or 300 worms a night.
Right.
And you can actually hear them slurping.
Seriously. So we've snoring badgers, we've slurping badgers, but you also said that they hunt hedgehogs and rabbits. How on earth does a badger catch a rabbit?
They certainly don't run across the fields and catch them. The rabbits they usually feed on are the young rabbits that are in the little burrow that's blocked up by the female rabbit.
Okay.
And they take them out. And you can always tell when you find a rabbit carcass that it was a badger that killed it.
How?
Because they turn it inside out. They open it up and they eat it and turn the skin inside out.
Right.
And they also do that with hedgehogs because they're one of the few animals that can actually kill and eat a hedgehog.
Yeah, I was going to say, hedgehogs are pretty spiny. It must be a pretty special animal that can get through a hedgehog or eat a hedgehog.
It's all to do with those big sharp claws.
Okay.
They find the hedgehog, they roll him onto his back, they put the two paws in the middle and they press them apart and they eat him out. And all that's left is the inside turned out skin of the hedgehog with all the prickles on it.
Right.
Looks a bit like a horse chestnut nutcase.
Right, okay. Gruesome but effective, essentially.
Very effective.
So there we have our dead hedgehogs, but what about dead badgers? I've heard that there's badger funerals. Is that an old wives' tale or is there some truth to that? What is a badger funeral, Declan?
There's always been these stories about badgers carrying out the dead other members of their clan, burying them, and people have reported seeing this. But a lot of it probably is just coincidence that there has been a badger standing beside a badger on a dead badger on the road. But there was one case back in 1942, and it really beggars belief what the naturalist saw. And there's no question he's giving a true, accurate account. But he saw a female badger come out of a burrow, and she gave a long wail.
Okay.
And a smaller badger came and joined her. And the two of them went down a burrow, and they came back up dragging the old boar, the male, the dominant boar, up out, took him down the set, lay him on the ground, excavated around him, and did actually bury him. And he went down and he pushed the soil aside and he did find the badger had actually been buried. And it raises two questions. One, how did the female badger tell the young badger what was required? She let out a very distinctive wail, apparently, and it came running. How did it know? And what exactly were they doing? What did they really do when they buried it? That's the only well-documented case. It was made by a very well-known naturalist back in the 40s, and there's no reason to doubt it, although I don't think anybody can really offer an explanation as to why they did it.
So Declan, coming on to a slightly more delicate question, just around TB. Badgers, there is thought to be a link between bovine tuberculosis in badgers and cattle. Do you have any kind of ideas around this, or what do you think is the link between the two species?
Yes, you're right. It is a very controversial topic, and badgers are always part of the TB story. They actually do have TB and can carry it. Bovine TB was spread to them by the cattle.
Okay.
It's also spread to a number of other animals. And it can be spread on various ways by people's boots, by deer, by a whole range of things. There's a lot of research being carried out on it, and I think there'll need to be an awful lot more research before we come up with a strategy to deal with this, both for the badger's sake and for the farming community.
Thanks so much for having us down, Declan. This has been absolutely fascinating.
Thank you very much, Tara.